Good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Morning and welcome to the Keith Harris Show right here on Blog Talk Radio, Keith Harris Show GN. And it is morning. I know a lot of you are off already and hope you're off to an amazing start. Listen, weather's crazy. It's cloudy out here on this end. We got a few tornado warnings and things like that going on. So, you know, everybody try to be safe this morning. And, you know, during your travels and things like that. If you run into anything that you feel like people need to know about, make sure you call us in. Just call in at 646-668-8343 and let us know what you're seeing and what's going on. You know, whether that be a traffic jam or, you know, maybe a funnel is too low to the ground or just different things like slippery spots. So many different things to be careful and look out for. So we want to make sure we do that. All right. Also, we'll be discussing later on in the show the weight loss. And then we'll talk about Mel B also as well and her allegations. And we have a very special guest coming on today, Don Johns, an amazing musician and filmmaker, and we're very excited to be speaking to him. So we're going to definitely make sure we talk to him and see what's going on with him this morning, too. Cannot wait to hear his story. All right. Yeah, so make sure you do that. Once again, you can call in also and talk to Don live. Make sure you call 646-668-8343 in case you may have any questions for him, whether it be questions about filmmaking in general. Oh, we're also going to talk about his music too, so you guys will be able to find out where you can find his music and things like that, and where you can go to the site and check out his films. Really great guy. Can't wait to hear from him. All right. That's what time it is. So we'll be talking to you in just a few. Oh, also, other things going on. First, I want to take time out to say good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You.
I'm doing fine. All right. Yeah, so that's what time it is. We can't wait to get to it. You guys hold on. We'll be right back. Oh, I'm telling you, it's exciting. So, yeah, we'll get back into it. We'll get ready to get started. Welcome back to the Keith Harris Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we are getting ready to talk with the multi-talented musician and filmmaker, Don Johns, right here on the Keith Harris Show on Blog Talk Radio. As we said before, there are some storms. There's some storms. We're going to give you guys a bit of an update and a weather report a little bit later on to keep everybody updated. So please do excuse the connections from time to time. All right. A lot of lightning and poles flying around and things like that. But one thing we want to try to focus on is keeping you guys up to date also so that we can keep everybody safe at the same time. Now, without any further ado, I'm excited to talk to this guy. We can't wait for you all to hear his story. We also can't wait for you guys to find out what wonderful projects we can look forward to from him in the future. A lot of opportunities, a lot of great things happening. We don't want to hold him up too long because we know he's going through weather issues down there as well, right on the water. So we want to talk to him and make sure he's safe also. All right, without any further ado, I'd like to roll out the red carpet and give a warm welcome and a good morning salute to producer, director, and writer Don Johns. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How you doing this morning, Don?
I'm just hoping that we don't get blown away here with the crazy weather we've been having.
Yeah, it's insane. I know it's been storms from back to back, We're on the same. We're on the East Coast. We're both in the Carolinas. For people out there, you know, the weather's it's a lot of storms, and they've been coming since last night. It's like one following the other. You know.
Yeah.
And for people like yourself, Don, you're near the water. You're on the coast, right?
Yeah, I'm less than 2 miles from the beach.
Yeah, so I know it's got to be, you know, it's probably kind of, you know, hitting kind of hard down there, really windy and things like that. Okay, safety-wise, though, how are you guys holding up? Are you guys okay? Or?
Oh, yeah, it's just, yeah, we can't complain. We haven't had any, you know, tornadoes like some of the, you know, folks that have been getting hit in the other states pretty hard. It's just a lot of rain and lightning.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good. All right, so in the meantime, for everybody out there, Don has been producing and doing music and making films for a long time. Don, let's first start. Where did it begin for you? Did you start with music or film?
The first creative endeavor I did was a film. Some friends of mine in my neighborhood, when we were about sixth and seventh grade, we made a little film on an 8mm film. And then not long after that was when I started dabbling with music.
Right. Oh, okay. So, what brought it? Okay, so the film, what kind of film was it from the beginning? It's a story that if you can remember it that long ago, but do you remember what the film was about that you guys worked on?
Oh,
that
absolutely. It's actually on my website. You can actually go watch it. It's really grainy. It's really hysterical. It's called The $16 Man Plus Tax.
Yeah.
It's a spinoff on those of you that are old enough to remember there was a show called The $6 Million Man in the 70s. So
yo.
The $16 Man.
Are you serious?
But that's really what kind of inspired me to we made that film and we took it to our high school and we got to show it in our homeroom. And it was such a big hit. We spent the next 3 days going from room to room to room with the projector showing everybody. And, you know, that's sort of, I think, what gave me the bug of, I want to make movies because this is really cool. You know, you're walking down the hall and you're like, dude, man, I saw that $16, man, that thing was crazy. And so it was like, I think that's what just sparked the seed in me to think about maybe making movies.
You know what? That's cool right there. I ain't going to hop on that, you know, and hold up too long on it. But that's real cool because The $6 Million Man was like my favorite show back in the day. As a lot of people.
I had a leisure suit that I wore all the time, just like $6 Million
Man. Yeah. And so what the tickle me part here is that you guys made the – okay. You made The $16 Man, like, all right. That was plus tax. Okay, that's really cool. That added this total twist to it, and it's funny, right? I know that was way back. I didn't even expect to talk about that. But can I talk about the 16 minute? So that was like the home version. Like, I guess that was you guys' version, like version that we all could relate to, I guess.
Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, you should try to, you know, I'll provide on my website today up on Facebook. I'll put some links so people can watch it. It's really, really funny.
Holy wow. That's crazy. And it's 16. Speaking of 16, is that the age you composed your first song, 16 years old?
Say that again.
I said, you also, when it comes to music, you composed your first song at a pretty young age also, man. I think you were still a teen, 15, 16,
yeah,
something like that.
I was 16. I started out playing the snare drum in high school band, and the next year I got a hi-hat. The next year I got a full set of drums, and I was a janitor at my church, and I would always sit at the piano and just kind of play around with it, and I just started kind of making up stuff, and so when I was about 16, I wrote my first song, and then from there I just kept writing.
Wow. Holy cow. You know, let me ask you, you know, when people check out your work and your creativity and things like that, it seems like what you, you know, your creativity, it was a natural spur. It was a natural gesture for you. Did you growing up spend time around a lot of other people that were in the industry, or was it just kind of you with so much, so many creative ideas just within you, and you just shared those with everybody around you, or were there influences for you?
That's the crazy part. I have no musical people in my family. I had to drag people to go see movies with me in the theaters. It was just something that was in me. I can remember entertaining my family with a flashlight, lip syncing to Elvis and Tony Orlando Don, almost, you know, setting up the life that I would lead. I had no idea that by me imitating these artists, entertaining my family, I would end up doing that for a living.
Right. Yeah, and that's cool. That's what made me act.
There was nobody in my family. To this day, I want to know, you know, is it 6, 10 generations back? Where did I get these abilities? Because I self-taught. I've never had lessons on anything.
Yeah, that's what made me ask that question, is because your work, you know, as we look at your work, it is, it's your... there's not a lot of people, when you look at their things, they have a lot of the big, huge bells and whistles and a lot of different things surrounding, and it hypes up a project. Whereas I feel like your work kind of stands on its own. It stands on its own 2 feet, Don. It's self-made. I'm looking for lack of better words. It's self-made. It's ground up, and it's great works. And that's why I wanted to, you know, kind of point that out. When do you find, and I'm going to go back and forth here a little bit because we got to get into the films, but when do you find musically that you would do your best writing? Because your music is, it's not just up in the air. It's music that people can relate to. It's from the heart. It seems like it's internal. Where do you find yourself writing your best music? Go ahead.
It varies. I've had a lot of inspiration taking showers. I can be in, you know, this melody just drops in my head, and I get out of the shower really quick, try to record something, banging on something to kind of get the rhythm. And but it's just different places. But it's usually always when I'm a very solitary time, and it's usually in the mornings. I'm not a night person. But I could be riding my bike. There's been like one song literally just dropped in my lap riding my bike one day. The lyric, the melody, everything. And I had to run home really quick. I just kept singing it over and over and over so I wouldn't forget it. So it's really weird. I've gone through dry spells. I've gone through just prolific writing where I'm just picking up song after song. It's just, I've written hundreds of songs, man. I'm on a mission to try to get all those songs out.
Mm-hmm. Now, listen, being a busy guy and doing the music and things like that, okay? And, you know, let's fast forward and talk about Just a Spark Films, all right?
Okay.
And we'll talk about how you know, soundtracks and things like that can collaborate. But at what point in time did you feel like you were ready for Just a Spark Films?
Well, to backtrack a little bit, it wasn't until, you know, I made that first little movie when I was in middle school, elementary school, and it wasn't until the late 80s that I seriously started thinking about, could I make a living doing video? And so I started doing weddings, and so from that led to doing industrial stuff, training, a couple of little low-budget commercials, and so... After I kind of got burned out on doing a lot of commercials, I've always had in the back of my mind to make a movie. And so I didn't want to have my movies on the same website as all my commercial work because it just didn't make sense. So I created Just a Spark Films that I could use to create, you know, more long-form type movie. So that's sort of how it was started. And the name actually comes from the old campfire song, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. So that kind of had stuck in my head my whole life. So I thought spark films, you know, it takes a spark to get a fire. So that's kind of the whole, you know, about heat behind the name.
Right, right. What is it that when you now after Just a Spark Films, what was your first film when you started at company?
My first film was in 2007, and it was On My Last Breath. It was it's a short film, military film, and the very same year I did a science fiction film. I was just really hot that year. But I still really am very proud of that film because I did so much pre-production. I spent months doing pre-production on that, and I think it really shows. It really holds up to this day. I can still watch it, and I still just really, really like it.
Wow. Do you have, when you got into the industry, when you started running, you got full steam with creating films. Has there ever been a feature film that you have always wanted to make? I mean, you know, whether you've got to, there is that, I don't want to ask and get you to get out of the way, because I know when you get ready to do it, it's going to be like kaboom. But what would be your favorite feature film to make?
The very first script that I wrote, it's called The Dishwasher, and it's autobiographical. It's about myself growing up, and not that I have that exciting of a life, but I kind of created a world that I think would work as a film. And, you know, the only reason why I haven't made it is, one, I wrote that script before anything else, and I was felt like, you know, I've never made a movie. I don't want to, you know, ruin my very first script because I don't have any experience as a director. But then as I've been progressing through the years, anybody that's out there that wants to make a movie, the hardest thing is trying to find money to make it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I made Do No Harm, I made that for less than $7,000. All the other scripts that I've written, there's no way that I could make it for that kind of money. It was just too much going on. And so that's sort of one reason why I haven't made The Dishwasher. But that's in the back of my mind, that if someday I get to a point financially myself to spend the money, or if I find some investors, that would be my... If that's the only film that anybody ever remembers me for, that would be the one that I hope to one day make.
Wow, The Dishwasher. Have you began to work on maybe the campaign for that, or the pilot or what have you for it, or something that we can, you know, everybody can look at in case somebody might want to pick that up?
Yeah, it's on my website. It's just, you know, a fake poster that I made up. But what I want to try to do is my next film, I live on the beach. It's very, very beautiful here. I'm actually working on a script of a romantic movie, not romantic comedy, but just pure romance. So that's going to be the next film that I'm going to try to work on here in Wilmington. I'm going to cast it locally. I'm going to shoot it here locally. And I hope that, you know, maybe sometime next year I could maybe be actually filming it.
Oh, okay. Well,
it just goes back to budget. You know, if somebody calls me after this show and says, "Don, I'd love to help you make that dishwasher," then we would be making it. But it's just that, you know, to go from $7,000 to $10,000, you know, I would need probably several hundred dollars to try to attempt to make The Dishwasher.
Yo, that sounds like a cool, like, is it, dang, I want to ask, but I don't want to get you to give it away, but it's the show, we got to ask. Can you give anything away?
I'll tell you, it's kind of like Goodwill Hunting. I originally wanted to cast Morgan Freeman. It's just a crazy story. What I did was I created, you know, my life's not that exciting. And so I had to create something to kind of give it a hook. So I created this fictional character who goes to jail, and then later in the film I meet this fictional character and he changes my life.
Wow.
So it's a beautiful film, and it shows how I grew up in an alcoholic environment, what that did to me. And like I said, I created this fictional character, sort of like Robin Williams was the character in Good Will Hunting, where he helps Matt Damon realize that all the stuff that's happened to him is not his fault. So it's kind of that same concept, but with a really crazy spin that I think people would just, they would love. The first 10 minutes of the film, you would just be gripping in your seat. You'd be like, wow, this is crazy film. So it's all in my head. I'm just waiting for somebody to give me the green light, and I'll make it.
Oh, okay. And now, going to the feature film, Do No Harm, okay? What now, that's a psychological thriller, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's kind of your baby right now. That, for everybody too, is on the Blog Talk site too. We got the clip up there for people to look at. But when did that idea for Do No Harm come to you, and how did you jump off with it? Like, what was the starting point for that?
Well, I entered both On My Last Breath and Without Hope. They were both in film festivals.
Uh-huh.
And so I started getting all these people coming out of the woodwork. They're like, oh, my God, man, you're so talented. You know, we want to help you make a movie, blah, blah, blah. And so after years and years of promises, I actually went out to California for a half a year trying to make connections. I've been to Mexico. I've been to New York. I've been everywhere. Anybody that said, hey, I want to help you make a movie. And it just nothing was happening. So finally, I was about to turn 50, and I rolled over in bed one night and told my wife, I said, you know, sweetie, all I still want to do is make a feature film. And I said, you know, at some point, physically, I don't know if I can do it. I'm getting older. And so we talked about, well, what could you make? And I said, you know, well, I don't know. We don't have any money. And so we, you know, what we had in the savings between the two of us was a little under $1,000. So I literally wrote a script based on that amount of money. I knew I could sell a horror movie. I knew I could do a horror movie because usually they're low budget. And so it was, that's really, doing a horror was just basically written out of a lack of funds. I wrote this script in 3 weeks. And it was just a matter of finding the location. Once I got the location, then everything was, you know, everything fell into place.
Wow. How did you guys go about casting? You want to, shout out your cast, your people who did the casting and things like that for, because that must have been a real cool film to work on. Like, you know, when people look at the clip, the cast looks amazing, very talented. Big shouts out to them as well.
The film would have been a complete disaster. I got really, really lucky. But we had over 350 people that auditioned. I've been using, I'll give a shout out, I've been using that for years, and that's where I found all my actors. That's where I post everything. And so I had 350 people apply. Only about 60 showed up. And so I went through the process of, you know, finding who I thought would be the best. And the crazy thing about that film, a shout out to Bo Walker, who plays the lead role, he had never even acted before.
And wow.
He came in and...
You mean the lead?
We just said he's our guy, and he just
wow.
He just did a really, really, all of them did really good, but you know, everybody else had experience, and Bo had none, and I felt like he held his own because he carries the whole movie.
Right. Wow. Who directed? Did you direct on No Harm?
Yeah, I did everything. I had no crew. I did camera, I did editing, I did the music, I did lighting, I built props, I did makeup. I did the whole film.
Man. And you know what? And you did well. You did it well. Listen, that just speaks for how you saw the vision. You saw the vision. Listen, all of those skills, and I want to dissect this. I feel like it's important, so I want to break it down. all of those different skills that you acquire. Because listen, you know, you talk about making music, that's one thing. You talk about writing a film, that's another thing. But you, as you say, you were your own staff. Did you learn all of these different positions over the years to wear so many hats?
Basically, yeah. I've been, you know, I've been on low budget films. I've been on medium budget, and I was like a sponge. I was absorbing, you know, everything. And so it wasn't that, you know, I wanted to do everything, but it's like when you only have, someone says I want to do a commercial and they have $500, well, you can't spread $500 among the cameraman and audio guy, script supervisor, or no one's going to get paid. And so, you know, I quickly make a decision, do I want to do this stuff for a little money, I'll do everything myself, or do I just go, oh, I'm a director, I got to have more money than that, I got to have a full crew, I can't do it. And I made the decision, you know what, I'm going to make it happen. And, you know, if you go to my earlier work, you can see how much I've grown. You know, my cinematography, just everything. I feel like that I've just, you know, the last 20 years, I have just grown by leaps and bounds. And it's from, you know, being willing to make a lot of mistakes.
Right. Well, you know, I think you there? Are you still there, Don?
I am.
Okay. Now, I was just checking because I know it's bad for you out there. We got tornado watches out here, and it got kind of crazy for a second. But listen, now, also, see, and everybody out there, too, also, listen, Don is, some of this comes from, and I'm going to bring this out. Don, you have a technical background also. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, this guy knows his stuff. You know what I'm saying? He knows how to, you know, that with that question I asked before of wearing so many hats and knowing the basics. You had a technological background as well also, right?
Yeah. And it's mainly just from the School of Hard Knocks. I've never gone to film school. Right. You know, I've just been one of those people that I'm a fly on the wall. And, you know, when I've been on, say, $600,000 commercial, I watch what they're doing. I'm looking at the equipment and I ask questions. And so, you know, I've just, like I said, I've just learned and I've learned and I've learned. And, you know, you just get better.
Right. Mastering your craft. Look, OTE Productions. Let's talk about OTE Productions. Are you still current with OTE?
I don't really use OTE anymore. Basically, I created that when I first went on the side and I started doing my own work. And I created OTE just so someone could write me a check so it wasn't, you know, written out to Tom Johns. And I just created, really all it was just a checking account. And that's really all it was. But I don't really, I try to stay away from doing commercial work now. Now, if someone wants me to do a commercial for them, I'll absolutely do it, but it's not like, put it this way, when I was doing commercials, I would put it up on OTE Productions and say, hey, check out the commercial I did. Now I'm to a point where I'm not building my resume anymore. My focus is music and making movies. So the only thing that I'm really concerned about is doing long-form work, and Justice Park Films is my actual legal entity. Justice Park Films is an LLC, and, you know, I did some work for a nonprofit in South Carolina last year. I'll do that kind of work, but here again, I'm not posting it. I'm not going to go out and tell everybody, hey, you know, I want to do more nonprofit work, whatever. But
yeah.
OTE is just, I want to keep it there because a perfect example, I met someone just a couple of days ago that is very connected here in Wilmington, and she asked me if I would be interested in doing, you know, commercials for some local businesses. And I said, absolutely. Take a look at some of the work that I've got. So it's kind of there. I'll keep it there so people can see. Because, you know, if they were to look at my films, they're like, why would I hire this guy? He makes movies.
So I
leave OTE up so they can see. If you go to the website, there's a lot of stuff there.
Right.
And so that way they can see, you know, this guy has done a lot of different things. And if they want to look at my film work, which is way higher quality, they can look at that as well. But at least they see that I know how to cut a 30-second commercial. I know how to do a 15-second commercial.
Right. Well, see, that's what made me bring that up. That's what made me bring that up again, just kind of going into the background of just, you know, I mean, because, again, listen, you know, we talk about the films and the new things coming out and it makes sense. But, I love to just kind of involve the people with everything that goes along with that. You know what I'm saying? Because I think it's important. I think it's important. Again, you've done so much work. And as you were speaking, I started to think about something myself. And you mentioned Wilmington again. And they call, I think the nickname for Wilmington is Filmington. Right?
Yes.
But,
yes.
Yeah. But, you know, you were speaking about with people and watching the movies, and people would say, well, why would I want this guy to do a commercial? And I tell you, it's crazy that they would even say that, though, because that film work, that great film work that you do. Now, this is just me saying this, but that great film work that you would do would make a guy like me look at it and say, this guy must be really great at filming a commercial. I mean, there's so many people who do it. Like, I would hope people wouldn't be that closed-minded to shut that out like that. That would be crazy.
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I've actually had people tell me they looked at my films and they thought, there's no way that I can afford this guy. His work is so good. There's no way he's going to come here and do a commercial for me. I sell, you know, kitchen tables. But then
right.
I go, whoa. And I say, look at these terrible commercials that I made. I will make you a commercial if you only have, you know, $500. But yeah, they look at my films. They don't look like $500 films.
Right.
You know, and I think that's, I mean, it's crazy. People actually send me stuff from all over the world because they do think that I'm some big, you know, they think that I'm 20th Century Fox. They think that I'm, you know, some big film company, and I am honest with them, and I'm like, you know, I appreciate you sending me that script, but I'm trying to make my own movies. I'm not, you know, not accepting
yeah.
the script, you know. But
yeah.
people, they perceive Justice Spark Films. They have no idea that it's just one guy with some cameras and a computer that's creating all this stuff.
Man, you know what though? That's one of the. That's one of the things that lets them know you're a bad, bad man. I mean that in a good way, though. You know what I'm saying? like you know, you're behind there doing all that. I gotta ask you this because what are you, in your opinion, what's the best film that you've made for the cheapest budget? I know you probably want to say Do No Harm because it's a great film. I don't know whether it was cheap or not. Doesn't look cheap. So for you. In your opinion, what was the best film you made at the cheapest price?
I'd have to say Do No Harm because,
okay.
I think that Do No Harm is an incredible accomplishment. You know, a lot of people, they just can't even believe that I had no crew. You know,
I'm
they
still
just like
off that too. Don, and I'm sorry because I'm going to be cutting you off a few times here because we're getting into an exciting conversation. And feel free to cut me off, too. Let's just jump back and forth. You had no – how do you make a movie with no crew? And I know a lot of filmmakers out there who've been doing this, maybe they know the answer to that question. Maybe they think they know it. But I don't – nobody else is doing it. How did you make a movie with no crew?
Well, you know, it just goes back to a desire to make something happen. And, you know, I started thinking – you know, we have very little money, and I definitely wanted to pay my actors. And then I started thinking, if I started paying crew members, that $7,000 would disappear, and I couldn't do anything. And so I made a decision, just like I've made commercials with no crew. I go in there with my camera. I go in there with my lights. I go in there with my audio. I just basically took the film and made that same approach. And, you know, I worked myself to death. But the alternative was, if I didn't approach it in that, I would not have been able to make the film. And here's the thing, because a lot of people, they're like, oh, dude, man, I would have helped you out, man, I would have done it for free. Well, I've tried that. And a lot of times, people that say that, they don't show up.
Yeah.
And so, so then you're in a situation where you've scheduled your actors, you've scheduled your location, you get some guy that doesn't show up or some girl. Now you're completely screwed. And so I started thinking, I'm not going to let some bozo throw out my schedule, screw me up. I'm just a little bit of money. I've got to make this happen. I've got a little bit of window. And that's kind of where I made the decision, because I knew that I would get it done.
Right. Wow.
I tell you,
yeah,
when I make my next film, I'm going to try to do like a four-man crew, because it was quite an undertaking. It was a lot to juggle. It was a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Because then, man, what were some of your days like when you were doing everything like that? Did you have to film shorter days just to keep you guys from being overly worked and exhausted, or did you try to bang out 12-hour days?
No, I crammed everything that I could, because four of my actors didn't live. I made the film near Charlotte, and two people were from Wilmington, two people were from Charlotte. And so I had to have everything scheduled, and I had to cram everything in, because, you know, I was paying for the hotel, I was giving them gas money. So to me, I did not want to waste every single moment that we had. Now, a lot of times, if we were out, they would, like, kind of sleep and just lay around while I was picking them. But that was really the hardest part. I didn't even have anybody to help me with lighting. And so, you know, I'm setting up some lights, and then I got to go back inside and look how it looks. I got to go back out there again. I move it. It would have been nice just to have somebody outside, and I'm talking to them on the walkie-talkie and saying, hey, move that light to the left, kind of pulling it up a little. Just something as simple as that. I didn't even have that. So I had to keep going back and forth. I must have lost 15 pounds when I made that move.
Man, just moving around and yeah.
Oh, man, I was just completely exhausted, because, like, we would shoot on Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm out that house, I'm prepping, I'm building shops. I mean, I was just working around the clock. But I loved it. I'm not complaining. I was in my element.
Mm. Wow. I know that must have been a great feeling to get that done. Now, after it was, can you see yourself doing a part two to Do No Harm, like, say, Do No Harm 2?
You know, it totally, it's wide open for a sequel, but I'm ready to move on, and my wife is too, because we put so much money into that, and not getting into a lot of deal, but the movie did get a distribution deal, but the guy just completely dropped us blind.
And that's, yeah.
We're both kind of wanting to, you know, I do want people to watch it, but it's kind of like, to do another sequel, it's kind of like I want to move on, and that's why I want to try to do the romance thing. Who knows who's listening to the show? If someone calls and emails me and says, Don, I want to make Dishwalker with you, then that's going to be the next movie.
Hey, hold on. Give us 1 second. We got a caller.
Sure.
Blog Talk Radio, Keith Harris Show. You are on air with myself and Don Johns. Who's calling?
What's up, what's up, what's up, Keith? It's Jose Mixonette.
Jose, what's going on, player?
I'm good, brother. How's everything going with you?
Everything's beautiful. Got Don John. Don Johns is on the show today. Don, you here?
I'm here.
Hey, what's up, Don? Pleasure to finally speak
to you. Hey, man, yeah, same here. We've been chatting on Facebook. It's nice to actually talk to you.
Same here, man. Just wanted to say, I personally really enjoyed Do Not Harm. I'm a fan of your work now. I hope one day we actually get to work together. It would be great. And I'm really glad that, you know, Keith's on board and you guys were able to come into contact and see where we can take it from there.
Oh, I would love to work with you. I love looking at your work. I think you're a talented guy, and you know, maybe we can get some stuff going and blow it up.
Hey, right. That's a
keep you watching in a harm, right?
Hell yeah, yo. That'd be a fierce look, man. I can honestly say, man, first and foremost, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I ain't the, you know, but you guys with the talent that Don displays from ground up, I'm sure you already know this, Jose, but the way Don is just so creative, he can put all these ideas together himself, and with the way you bring the powerhouse, I've seen your acting many times. Wow, you guys need to, yeah. Look, are you guys going to work on No Do No Harm's Done? What's in the making? Let's think of a movie right now.
We got some talking to do, Don, but we've been talking, and he's a very cool guy. Not only am I a fan of his film work, but actually his music.
Yeah.
So I got to listen to some of it the other day, and I messaged him, and I could easily see it, you know, being played at my wedding or just a bunch of people's weddings and stuff like that. Like, it's really touching, deep, you know, but it's still fun music. Like, it's great.
Yeah. Thank you. I totally agree. Definitely great vibes and food for the soul. Listen, yo, look, y'all got to, look, put that together. Put that together, yo. Definitely. Definitely. I'd love to see you. I hope you.
One more thing. I want to do no harm, right? And I watch all these Saw movies, and I really like watching horror. Like, that's me and my fiance's favorite genre to watch. And she's always saying, like, I can just watch this straight through, and I don't cringe or anything. But when you're watching Do No Harm, and we saw him pulling out the spinal cord and just dropping, like, it was like the kidney or the lung, it actually made me, like, all the blood, I had to turn away and look away from the screen. And that is, like, super rare. That doesn't ever happen. And I'm like, how does it make it look so real and bloody and, like, just everything? It was the sound, too. Like, the sound, you could hear the bones, like, crunching and stuff. Like, I just had to look away. Like, I had to turn. I couldn't take it. But good job on that. Kudos, because, like I said, that rarely happens to me.
That's so funny. We had when I showed the movie for the first time, I had did a premiere in the little town where we filmed it. It was a free premiere. I gave everybody free posters. We had a lady during that scene he's talking about. She ran out of the room and she said she had to throw up.
What?
Yeah, that's serious. I was like, no, I can't. I had to turn away for a few seconds.
The sounds alone are just really disgusting, and I won't give you all the secrets of how we did the sound, but yeah, you can hear like the blood dripping, you can hear the breaking of the bones.
Exactly, and I'm watching it on like, you know, the surround sound speaker type, you hear everything. Like, I heard the popping when they dropped down, like the liver or the organ, whatever that was. I'm like, oh, this is too much right here. I can't. But anyway, I just wanted to say congratulations to you, brother. I really do hope we work on something together in the future. We'll be in talk with that. And just wanted to listen to my brother Keith, and congratulations to you both, guys. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll talk soon, all right?
Thank you.
All right. No doubt. Jose, have a blessed day, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling in, man. Dang,
right, cool.
Yo, I can't wait to see y'all get that thing going right there. That's going to be off the chain. Wow.
Yeah.
And
he's pretty talented.
Yeah. He's a man. We call him, he's from the East Coast, but on the low, we call him Hollywood.
the whole reason why you and I met is because he's the one that contacted you and told you about me.
Yeah, that guy, Jose's plugged in. He's doing his thing. Look, let's talk give me one second. We got another caller. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the Keith Harris Show. You're joining myself and the amazing Don Johns. Who's calling?
He is amazing indeed. Hey, Don, William Davis here. How you doing?
Hey, is that Dr. Pratt?
It was at one time, yes. How you doing, man?
Wow, I'm doing well. How you doing? For those of you that don't know who William Davis is, he was in Do No Harm.
Oy, what's going on?
No, not much.
It wasn't his spine.
Can you hear me okay? I'm
so,
sorry.
Go ahead.
So ask William, why don't you tell people what it's like? Because I think when I made this movie, I think William was really skeptical, you know, because the first thing he asked me was, where's your crew? And I said, I don't have a crew. And I saw in his face, this movie's never going to be made. If it ever is made, it's going to be a piece of crap. And when I showed it to him, he had the biggest grin on his face. He looked over at me and he said, you know, I'll be honest with you, I never thought this movie was going to be good. But this is a really good movie.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's true. When I first met Don and he told me what he was doing, you know, without knowing his previous work, you would think that he, you know, he just picked up a camera a couple of weeks ago and was doing a whole movie, but not at all. Yeah. You know,
wow.
he did such a job, a great job, and it's like he was telling you, it's amazing that he did everything. I sure hope someone listening out there will give Don some money to make a real movie next time.
That's
not
right.
A real movie.
Send some money. Don John.
Right,
yeah, but,
and you know what's great?
He was amazing. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, what role, if you guys can say without giving it away, what role did you play? Or if you don't want to give that away, how did you enjoy playing your role? How interesting was it for you? And kind of what did it take for you to prepare for your role?
I was the doctor. It was a fantastic role that he wrote, and I had a great time doing it. He gave me a lot of leeway. Like any role I've done, I looked at it later, and there's still things I wish I would have done differently. But I think it came out okay. Especially with the rest of the cast was so good that we all worked well together. And Don, again, having no crew except some of his family and some of the cast helping out. It was really a very close-knit group of people that got along great. We had a lot of fun with it.
I tell you what, listening to your voice, just as me and my people sit here and just listen to your voice, people, you need to go see this film. Just your voice itself.
Absolutely. Matter of fact,
yeah.
I give away free coupons, so it's a no-brainer. You know, contact me on Facebook. Because here's the deal. On the distribution deal, technically, I can't sell this film in the United States or Canada. But there's nothing in my contract that says I can't let you see it for free. So contact me. I'll send you a coupon, and I'll let you watch it. Now, here's the kicker. If you want to help, you can buy my other films, and that money can help me. But technically, I can't sell Do No Harm until 2021.
No.
That's when the distribution deal runs out.
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying from the conversation earlier. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into any detail because I don't want that guy to get any press.
Right.
Completely railroaded my wife and I on that deal.
Yeah, well, we won't worry about that. But still, you know, again, as you guys say, for the sake of the creation of filmmakers and the actors and, you know, just it being a great movie. And as even Jose pointed out earlier, the effects, make sure you go see it. And your voice again, man, like kudos. I know that's just what you sound like every day, but they should want to go see a movie. When did you have to change your voice in this? And I'm gonna let you go and get back. But did you, how far did you have to change your voice much for your character, Carla?
I did just a bit. You know, I talked with Don about this a good bit, about the accent, because, you know, I have somewhat of a Southern accent anyway, but not to give too much away, but I tried to go with a little bit over the top a few times. So.
Right.
And,
well, your voice is just unique. It's a great sound, and voice is unique. Not, you know, the accent is great. We're in the South too, you know, so we love the Southern accents, right? It's just catchy. It seems like even for commercials. Wow, amazing job. Listen, thank you for calling in, Carl.
Well, thank you so much. And Don, I hope we can get together sometime, man. I miss you.
I miss you too, man. I'm really good to hear from you.
All right, we'll be in touch.
Okay, bye.
Wow.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Wow. It's amazing, yo. Sometimes you can just feel the energy.
Cool. That was cool. We've been talking on Facebook. I saw him a little bit after the movie, and then since I moved to Wilmington, I'm a little bit further away, but that was so good to hear from you.
Man, that's cool. Where'd you guys film? Again, you probably mentioned that before, but where'd you guys film Do No Harm? Oh, no, Charlotte. Did you say Charlotte?
It's a little town. A lot of people have never heard of it. A lot of people have heard of Statesville, which is north of Charlotte, but it's a little tiny town called Troutman.
Oh, so I've heard of
it's
it.
It's about 5 miles north of Charlotte.
Yeah, okay. I'd never been in, don't remember why I heard of it, but I guess obviously we're here, so you see signs and, you know, through different things like that. Big shouts out to Troutman, you know what I'm saying, for being a location. Now,
yeah,
let's move on.
It's a super, I mean, it's only there's literally only one red light. I mean, it's a tiny little town.
Man, but you know what, though? But isn't it cool, though, sometimes, like, or most times when you can, because those people find it exciting. I noticed one thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they love it when you're filming there. It gives them opportunity, right?
Well, you know, the thing that I've always said, if I was a millionaire, I would spend the rest of my life giving away. I'm a very giving person, and I tell you, I had more fun inviting people to come to the premiere and to see the look on people's faces, because, you know, in a small town, like you said, there's usually nothing going on. And they felt like we were in the middle of Hollywood. I rented out a big auditorium. I had, you know, surround sound. I had a big projection of it. I had candy. I had popcorn. Everything was free. I gave away posters. I invited the cast. And, I mean, some of these folks have never even been to anything like that. And so, you know, they were treating me like I was Steven Spielberg. They were treating the actors like they were, you know, Julia Roberts. And I loved to see the look on their face. We're autographing posters, taking pictures, and you know, these are just old folks that have been working hard their whole life and never get experienced something like that. And so that was, to me, that was almost the highlight of making the film. And watching them, my wife and I sat in the back and watching them laugh, watching them jump at the scary parts. That was so much fun too.
Wow, some of the special effects, like they say, you know, with no crew. I guess those, how is it doing special effects and things like that with no crew?
Well, here again, I was a weird kid. I'm still kind of weird. I used to just play around with makeup and stuff as a kid. And so I had this idea how I was going to do the crazy scene that Jose was talking about. And I actually, I bought a half of a mannequin. That's how I was able. I don't want to give it away, but
no idea.
Before the movie, before we actually shot the real scene, I always do pre-production on anything that I do because you don't want to wait until the day you do it and it doesn't work. So I actually did a mock-up, and my wife comes home from work one day, and I've got that mannequin up on our kitchen counter with blood and guts, and it was like made her sick. But I knew that it was going to work because from her reaction, because it was so real looking.
So you run around, she probably, I mean, you run around the house playing practical jokes to get the movie going.
Yeah. Well, this day, I won't give it away, but to this day, something that I used, which resembles skin, I was eating at a restaurant one day. It looked like skin, and I asked the waiter, what is that? He told me what they used to make it. I went out and I bought that, and that's what I used for skin. It is the most realistic thing that you can do for skin, and that really, really sold it, you know, because he was able to take a scalpel and actually cut on that, which looked like skin, and it's a really pretty brutal scene.
Yeah. Wow. Now here's the, so I'm assuming there was no room, because we're going to switch into the music, so I'm going to kind of make into a fun segue here, but I guess there was no room for any of the music to go on the Do No Harm soundtrack. I'll tell you why I said that, because, okay, we talk, you know, your music, listen, you made an amazing horror film, okay, creative guy, but then your mind goes totally to the other side, and your music, you make great music, it, as I said earlier, it's food for the soul. It's great vibes. You know, you can sit down, you can play it in your car, you can listen to it. If you're down, you can play it. If you're upset with, I like this description in particular. Your music is a type of music also that you could be, someone could be upset or just having a bad day, and your music will totally just give them a reason to realize that they should relax their minds. And we don't see that. People going through, listen, we get up in the morning, life's a hustle and it's a bustle. We don't find ways to slow our heart rates down or to just therapeutically ease our minds. Your music does that. And so that's what I meant. Going from 0 to 60 or 60 and then pressing the brake, that line between talking about your music and just to spark records, where does that mind of Don Johns come from? Because you make these great horror films, but you're a peace, you're a peaceful man. Where
well,
do you find
all, that? That made me cry. So I'm a little emotional right now.
It is what it is. Hey man, take your time and you know, because I'm just being real. We conversating, so you know. But when you get it, you know, how does that?
You know, I think that I've always written from my heart, because to me, you know, I love music. I mean, if you were to look at my music library, it's so eclectic, from soundtracks to John Denver to Megadeth. I mean, I listen to everything. And to me, music has got to connect with me on an emotional level. If it doesn't connect with me emotionally, I kind of feel like even if it's an instrumental, you know, like Yo-Yo Ma, that's a great cello player, that dude puts his entire being into every note he plays. And I think that's what has been resonating with people, is they're feeling I'm a very deep person, and I think that my music somehow has become a vessel to let that come out of me. And that was the thing that I was really concerned about when I did Do No Harm. Like I said, I'm a peaceful person, and I'm like, can I write music that's scary? And
right.
So, yeah, like if you were to, the soundtrack is available. And as a matter of fact, that soundtrack has sold more than a lot of my other stuff. And
wow.
It's scary. That music is absolutely scary.
Terrifying, yeah.
My whole life has been music and movies, so, you know, it's not like I just pulled stuff out of thin air. I mean, I watch movies, and I realize that music is what makes you react. And so I'll tell you something that inspired me, and not to spend a lot of time with this, but right before the movie, I had to have an MRI done. I was having some trouble. And if you've ever had an MRI, those noises, those clicks and beeps, they literally mess up your balance, your internal balance. And
right.
I just felt unnerved after I got out of that. When I wrote the music, You No Harm, I wanted to try to create that same unnerving feeling. And so what I did was I literally used like dissonant notes that don't normally go together. I did some scraping. I did noises that would, you know, make you feel uneasy. And a lot of people have said the music alone made them just completely freak out in the film.
Yeah. A lot of horror don't have that nowadays.
Well, it's just all, you know, a lot of things today, it's just cookie cutter. Nobody tries to do anything different.
Right.
And what happens is you just get numb to it. And I think that's why, you know, like you and I had a conversation, that music today has gotten so stale, because everybody just says, sounds like a Taylor Swift song. And I'm not knocking Taylor Swift, but everybody thinks, let me see if I can sing a song like Taylor Swift. Or let me see if I can sing a song like Adele. Instead of saying, let me create my own sound.
Mm-hmm. And bring
and
that expression.
What happened is there's no artistry anymore. Everybody's just mimicking someone else. And it's been hard for me to do my music, because it is so mellow. But I finally said, you know what? That's who I am, so I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah. And there's definitely a world and a market for that. And you know what? I feel like the people who enjoy that type of music, they're peaceful. They're peaceful people, and I think that's why. Yeah, I think that's why most times you don't hear about those people yelling and shouting. So you don't hear it as much front page, but there's people who really do love your music, and they're sitting home, they're enjoying it in their own worlds. And I gotta credit it too. These are thinkers, these are intelligent people, and I like this because it relates to yourself. You bring your gift to the world. You understand? And I think that's the difference in leaders and followers. And of course, in this world, we have to have both. Followers learn from leaders. So it's important to have followers. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think that also relates to the gift of being able to give from the inside out. And I think that's what you do. It expresses even in your movies. You deal with your emotions and your thoughts and the way you see things, and you express that gift to the rest of the world. And you say that for people. I want to ask, I want to touch on Love Our Life, that title, one of your albums. Where did you, because that's an interesting, obviously it's an interesting title. It's an important title. We all should take something from that. What made you come up with that title?
You know, that's one of those songs. There's only been maybe five. I've written, you know, not to toot my horn, but just to give you perspective, I've written hundreds of songs over the years. I'm 53, so it's not like I just, you know, it's been years and years of writing. And sometimes there's been moments where literally something just falls in my lap. And one day I was literally sitting at my computer, and that song, Love Our Life, dropped in my lap. And it's basically the lyrics are, I've been really blessed with a wonderful wife. And, you know, we've only been married for a little over 5 years. And in 5 years, me and her have done more than I have in my entire life. And the song is just literally, I love our life together. And it's, we actually, it's weird that you mentioned that. She came home last night and she said, I want to help you make a music video for that song. Because a lot of people tell me you need to do a music video for that song. And so she's agreeing. She doesn't really want to be in the video, but she agreed to help me with this song. So I want to show scenes of me and her doing stuff as a couple, because that's what this song is about.
Mm.
So that's really all. It just, I have to say shout out to two of the musicians. I found those guys online, and one guy, the guy playing the fiddle, he's from Tennessee, an older gentleman in his 70s. That fiddle part, I literally wept. That fiddle part is unbelievable. And then I met this guy online from England. He did the dobro for me. And those two parts to me really give, this is the first album that I've ever worked with other artists.
Right.
Mainly because of how the internet is bringing us together. And, you know, I was able to pay them a little money, you know, through PayPal, and then we exchanged tracks, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. So I'm hoping all my next projects, the guy, his name's Toby Wilson, he's also going to work my next project for me, because I just, we've really bonded, and he played on almost every track on Love Our Life.
Wow. Okay.
So everything came together. I really feel like that's probably the best work I've ever done. And I think it's the reason why I think it turned out so well is because it's boosted my confidence, because, you know, I never thought I was a singer. I've never considered myself a singer. I've always thought of myself as a writer. And I don't know if you've seen all the compliments on my website and on Facebook, but everybody says what a wonderful singer you are. And I think that has boosted my confidence, because singing is nothing but confidence. The people that are great singers, they get good because they feel more confident in their singing. What happens is when you're nervous and you're not confident, your throat closes up.
Yeah.
And so by getting all these nice compliments, I think that when I started working on Love My Life, I was feeling like, you know, maybe I can sing. Maybe I am a pretty decent singer. And so I didn't hold back, and I think it kind of shows on the track. Some really strong work on this album.
Yeah, and people can sing along with your music too. I think that's another important thing, is people aren't trying to keep up with how high can I hit a note, or you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
yeah.
And, you know, they can just enjoy the melody and just kind of where the song takes them away to. Where can people go check out your music?
Well, Facebook is probably the best place, you know, where I'm constantly posting stuff. But if you want to see my entire catalog, you just go to DonJohnsMusic.com.
Okay. All right, Don John.
DonJohnsMusic.com, all one word. And I have, you know, all my albums up there. And then when you click on the different albums, it'll take you to, you know, either iTunes, or it'll take you to Spotify, or it'll take you to, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. The beauty of today is, you know, when you do the CD baby thing, they distribute your music all over the place.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's
like... So my music
like...
is available, you know, worldwide, and it's really exciting to get the response, because I just started putting my music out in 2010. So, you know, it's been just sitting there. And I actually had a rap artist that I was working with, and he's the one that said, "You're wasting your time working with rap artists. You need to be working on your own music," because he said, "Your music is better than most of the
music
that's out there."
You know what? It's good he said that, though, and it's also good that he kept it real like that, because a lot of people in a different genre of music would not have wanted to admit that. They would have just been more focused on how you could help them. But he made a good point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he blew my mind. We met him in Charlotte. We were riding up to Raleigh. There was a studio up there, and we were meeting this producer guy that was going to work with him. And as we're riding up there in my car, he's like, "I hear that you write music too." And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, I'd love to hear some of it." And I had my old iPod, which had all my songs in it. So I'm thinking, you know, after a few seconds, he's going to go, "Cool," you know, and then not listen to it. He wanted to listen to every single song, song after song after song, all the way up to Raleigh, which is about a four-hour drive. He listened to my entire catalog, looked over at me, and he goes, "Don, dude, man, you're sitting on your wallet." And I said, "What does that mean?" He says, "You're sitting on your wallet, man." He said, "You should be a millionaire with all that music." He said, "Why are you working with somebody like me? You said, I ain't got no talent."
Damn.
And so the whole time we're working together, he kept telling me, "Man, you need to work on your music." And so a couple of years later, That kept hitting around in my head. And so finally, I put it out there. I put out 3 Hours Away and an instrumental album, both at the same time. And slowly, since 2010, I'm starting to get more and more followers who are discovering my music. And it's just been, it's been overwhelming, the response that I'm getting, because I've been doing this for 16 years and I've gotten nothing but rejection. So getting the validation last couple of years has been just wonderful.
You know what? And then also, too, because we're getting close to wrap up, but there's two things I want to mention. This one thing is, like, out of nowhere. Also, I don't know if you still do this or how many, but you had some artists with Just a Spark Records, too.
Yeah, now, there again, that's just, I don't give the misconception. They were basically told that I made videos for them. And I did them, and I put it up on Just a Spark Records because I, you know, they're not movies, they're not commercials. So literally, I just created that website to try to help these artists, because they're like me, they were struggling trying to get something going. But, you know, like I said, I've always been about giving, and this was just an opportunity to try to help some people that have never really been given a break.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hey, but still giving back. I mean, just something else that comes in. Okay, now, what's in the making? And we want to talk about the video site, too, where people can go watch Do No Harm. We want to get that out there so more people can go see that. That's VHX. So let's first I want to talk about in the future, what's what's new for you film, feature film wise? Any ideas coming up? Anything you're writing on?
Yes, I right now am writing a script. Like I said, it's a romantic script that I want to try to take advantage of the beautiful scenery here in Wilmington. And it's basically going to be about a woman who has had her heart broken. And she, you know, like most of us, we're very hesitant. You know, I don't want to get hurt again. It's, you know, it, the story's been done before, but I'm just going to try to do it in a way that, that might be a little fresh. Without giving too much away about it. But it's just, you know, it's going to revolve around, you know, two guys, two girls, and low budget. But I'll try to do that here in Wilmington and try to do it like I did Do No Harm. Much money, try to make it work, and then start promoting it. And, you know, maybe I can make enough money to make it.
Well, I tell you what, when it comes to talent and skill, I know you got that covered. I don't see you, I mean, I see you getting the movie done. You know, I don't see too much standing in the way of getting it done. As you say, it's just about getting that market, getting as many people who want to see it. Not even just about getting it, you know, to people because you want them to see it, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who need and want to see your work and move and change their lives. Let's talk about VHX. VHX.
Yeah.
Yes. That is where your film Do No Harm can be found now, right?
That's right. And the best way, instead of trying to remember how to find it on VHX, probably the easiest thing would be to go to justiceparkfilms.com.
Right.
And that way, they can see the movies, they can rent them. My movies are also available on Amazon. But here again, you know, Do No Harm is only available in other countries other than America and Canada. But all my other films are available worldwide.
Right, right. Okay.
But here's the deal. I mean, you cannot beat this. If you want to support Don Johns, for $4.99 a month, you can get a subscription. You can watch all my movies. You can watch hours behind the scenes. All my movies have audio commentaries, blooper reels, making of the movie.
Right.
For $4.99, where are you going to watch five movies with behind the scenes audio commentaries? It's just unheard of. And on top of that, for 3 days, you're not in charge. So you can literally watch marathon, watch everything, and not pay for it.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, we got what I want us to do too is when we get off. I know, like I say, weather's crazy, but when we get off, what I want us to do is to what I want us to do when we get ready to get off is try. Well, not try. I want you and my people to get together and post that deal on the Facebook site. That exact deal that people can go watch it for $4.99 and subscribe for $4.99 and get that whole package. That way they can read it. And for those who may be missing this right now, I want them to read that so they can just click the button and go to it because that's gonna catch them. And they need to watch this. Yeah, they need to watch this work. So we want to get the clicks up. We want to get the clicks up. So we definitely want to do that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And we're gonna take our time to get us a subscription too because we want to support in generally because we love the work, flat out.
And also, I do want to just say a plug for VHX. I think a lot of people that they haven't heard of it and they're just hesitant. You know, with all the fraud going on, you and I talked about this on the phone. You know, you have to put your credit card information so that you can be charged the $4.99. You know, they're totally secure. It's not a hack. It's just that nobody has heard of VHX. You know, it's no different than any other e-commerce website out there. They're totally secure. And to give you an idea, I've used my own credit card because I give gifts. You know, like I said, I give the coupons. That costs me a little bit of money, but to me it's worth it. So, you know, they've had my credit card information for over 2 years, and I haven't had any issues. So it's completely safe. But even to get the free subscription, you still have to put your credit card information because they don't know, you know, you're going to cancel before those 3 days. But if you do cancel before 3 days, you will not be charged. So you literally, not kind of giving away, you could watch everything and not get charged if you want to do that.
Right. And, I mean, that's typical when you go to a site that you put your credit card information in. So people are pretty much used to that. It's, you know, it's not like that's anything different. So, wow. Listen, Don, it's amazing. So we got to get ready to get out of here. Listen, has it toned down any out there, weather-wise?
What's that?
I said, has it calmed down any weather-wise over there?
Yes, it's all sunny now, and it's just, you know, kind of some wind gusts to 15 miles an hour. So I think that's all we're going to get the rest of the day. I think it's smoothed on out.
Yeah, same here. I know it was going through. I think it was kind of heading from you guys and coming our way. The same thing. It was windy and stuff was flying everywhere, and then the sun came out, and then it started raining. You know, crazy stuff. That's how it goes.
Yeah, I think we're out of the woods now.
Right. But listen, Don, it's been a pleasure talking to you. So much more we could talk about, as a matter of fact. Like we could go on with this, and I want to get a chance for you to come back on and talk to us more as well. What I want to do, again, make sure is when we get off here, is we want to get that posted up so people can start heading and checking out the behind the scenes and everything like that. Phenomenal. For $4.90, listen, just a few of the scenes and Do No Harm itself are worth $4.99. Just some of that, you know. Right. So with everything else that you get with that package, you just can't ask for more. And a lot of people are just not giving out those types of deals. So let's show our support for the green.
Here's something I want to plug. I know you got to go, but this is really funny. Even if you don't like the movie, the movie that I did called Without Hope, skip the movie and listen to the audio commentary. We had all five actors that night. And we did an audio commentary. It is the funniest thing, and I swear to God, we weren't drunk, we weren't high. It is the funniest shit you've ever heard. Four guys we were talking about the movie. We were just shooting the shit while the whole movie was going. That is worth $5. So I always tell people, if you hate the movie, just listen to the audio commentary. It is so funny.
Right. We're awesome. And make sure that the music too, and we'll make sure we get that posted on the website. Listen, Don, it's been amazing. It's been honestly a pleasure talking to you. The callers, thank you so much for calling in. Kudos once again for the wonderful gentleman who called in and Do No Harm, the doctor with the really cool voice.
Yeah.
Big shouts out for Jose for calling in. Don, big shouts out to you and the family as well too, and say hello to the Mrs. Force, you know, and thank her for having your back and helping you do what you do, man. Keep it going.
Yeah, I couldn't do it without her.
Absolutely, man. Listen, everybody out there, in case you missed any of you tuned in late, which I always say you should have been here from the beginning, this conversation with the multi-talented producer, director, writer, cast director, makeup, he does it all. He does it all. Mr. 360, that's what I'll call him, Mr. 360. Right. So for full playback purposes, you guys can catch this on social media shortly. Also, be sure to hit the click. Go check out the films, the demo reels, and everything that comes along with that. The music. When you want to find that safe zone, when you want to find that peaceful music, or when you just want to hear something that's not saying a whole lot of obscenities and vulgarness, when you just kind of want to get away from that world and just kind of to breathe and meditate, or even do your yoga or what have you.
Exactly. Yoga.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Make sure you check it out. So we're going to put that there. Don, you be blessed. We're going to get out of here, brother.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I hope that this is the beginning of a friendship between you and I.
Oh, man. Look, I I've been sitting here thinking all kinds of stuff, and we're going to talk. And we're on the same side of the... And we're in the same area. I think we'll be about four hours away. Not even. Probably about 2 hours.
Yeah, we got to get together. Matter of fact, I go to Raleigh a lot shooting music videos at Osceola Studios. So next time I'm there, let's try to hook up.
Absolutely. We're going to do it on set. I'm going to interview it right there. Sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be talking to you soon, Don. Have a blessed day, bro.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Wow. Don Johns, everybody. I wish I had more time to continue talking to him. So many more things just out of the woodworks. He's a great, down-to-earth, humble guy. Things that things that I did not get to mention about them. Again, make sure you check out the website. Make sure you check out what's going on. Check out the music. Check out Do No Harm and stuff like that. We'll be talking to you soon. Stay safe out there, everybody. It's the Keith Hurst Show, GM, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Just a few minutes, the show will be posted.